The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Began throwing bottles. They threw urine on officers, and that's what caused officers to take action and begin to make arrests.
Of course, we're talking about Ferguson, Missouri. That's the familiar voice of Captain Ron Johnson there. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You want to know the good news? He was talking about some of the things that have been happening, but guess what? At the Ferguson protests, yeah, calm. No Molotov cocktails. Police cars having rocks thrown at them. Police armed up as if it were a war zone. That's not the case day two. Thank goodness. Because the shooting of Michael Brown, as all of you know, has sparked days and days of demonstrations, nights of a lot of violence in the St. Louis suburb. The St. Louis County prosecuting attorney Robert McCullough is presenting the case to a grand jury. The grand jury could come up with significant charges against Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot and killed the unarmed 18-year-old Brown, or not. Charges or no charges. We won't know anytime soon. It's probably not going to come out until most likely October. Mid-October is what the prosecutor is saying. And, of course, McCullough isn't the only law enforcement dude around. The top cop, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, finally in Ferguson. I think he should have been there days ago, but he's there. And he talked to community people. He talked to the police. He talked to Michael Brown's family. And so far, he's the highest profile person in Obama's administration to come to Ferguson. He's stressing that the federal government's on the case, listening to the protesters calling for Wilson's arrest and for an end to what they say is heavy-handed police response. And, of course, the looting, the violence, all that kind of thing, and what's gone on before, but it hasn't happened in the last 2 days. There have been dozens of FBI agents who have been in the city. The Justice Department is looking to civil rights violations, yes or not. But if you're talking about civil rights, that's pretty tough. You have to prove racial hostility flat out. Racial hostility. And for that, you would also have to somehow be able to present the argument that specifically Darren Wilson, the police officer, targeted Brown, which seems very, very unlikely. I think Eric Holder realizes that for sure. Of course he knows that. And they're there investigating, but I think it's more of a, okay, we're here, hope you're satisfied with this, but we don't have the evidence to put forth in this case. So that's not going to happen. And is there a perception equaling reality or not? And with McCullough, that may be the case because they're talking about should there be a special prosecutor because the community doesn't really trust McCullough since he has ties to the police department. His father was shot and killed by a black man almost 50 years ago. And he himself wanted to be a cop. He was only 12 years old when his father died, but he lost his leg to cancer. And there are many, many family members that are in the police department. So is there a conflict of interest there? And will anything change? It's not necessarily looking that way either. So now more than anything, I think this is part of the process in Ferguson. And the last process is getting through this grand jury thing and seeing what happens. So bottles, glass, plastic, all that kind of thing has not happened because you had officers that had to wear helmets and shields and were running after people, arresting them, and the people they arrested, which is interesting, they arrested like 47 people. Most of them were not from Ferguson. So most of them weren't even from the area. We'll see which way this needle moves. In the direction of your hands are in the air, his hands were in the air. Why was he shot at or no? He was rushing the officer. And Wilson had no choice. He had no choice. I think, and I will give my opinion, and who knows, this is based on supposition, looking into what's happened in Ferguson and how tough it would be to prove that. I don't know that there's going to be any charges that this police officer is going to face. But they're smart to not have any of that out there. Just wait and see how it plays out. Speaking of playing out, I think one of the worst things that I have ever seen in my life on the internet is the beheading of James Foley, the freelance journalist who was doing work for Global Post, which, by the way, they spent a lot of money, even though he was a freelancer, to try to do whatever they could to find him, to bring him back, and it just did not happen, unfortunately. And Foley's video, which I don't know, who knows how many people watched it, is just a horror show. There is no way around that. And, you know, it makes you wonder, at this point, what should the U.S. do when there's a threat of beheading another American citizen? How much do we take before it's too much? So there were more strikes. And one of the things ISIS is saying is tell them to stop with the strikes, but that hasn't stopped. So do we see another journalist killed right in front of our eyes? I mean, gruesome images of a man being beheaded by terrorists. Just full-on terror. And you can see the terror in poor James Foley's face. So airstrikes absolutely are hitting ISIS. And they're saying, if you continue, we're going to kill more Americans. So where does this stop? How does this end? What should America do? What should America do at this point? Where are we going from here? And the answer is that with the killing, the threats, the evidence, the way they're leaving destruction in Iraq, and then threatening direct challenges to the United States, we have to be paying attention. Clearly, they are saying also stay out of this, because if you don't, we are going to kill you, America. We don't care. The president said on Wednesday that we're going to do everything we can to protect the people. The entire world is appalled by the brutal murder. The government has taken a couple of steps. They tried to save Foley and other journalists, but either were too late, got bad information, or whatever it was when they were in Syria. But I think the focus has to be on what the response is to this crazy ethnic cleansing against Christians and other minorities. Kidnapping, raping, selling women, massacring people in front of their families' eyes. You want to talk about inhumane, ridiculous, outrageous. There has to be a push to defeat ISIS. They can't keep winning and scoring victories. And they can't recruit. And the more they recruit among Muslims and anti-Western people, the worse it gets, because their numbers are growing. Coming up next, we're talking about what's happening at the borders with the kids and the fact that it's on average 500 days for a deportation hearing. So many are being absorbed into schools. Is that fair or foul? Next with Huey Newsom. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-463-7479. That's 1-800-463-7479. 1-800-463-7479.
Tonight in our virtual green room, Huey Newsom, he's a financial analyst and parent, which is very important to this conversation. Plus, he's part of Project 21. We talked about this last week, what's going on with the amnesty impact on public schools. And the latest there, as you all know, and as I mentioned, what's happening is now these illegal children, the immigrants that have come across, now are having to be absorbed into the public schools. And we've talked to a couple of principals and talked to some others about what that looks like and what it means. And the schools that are already strapped now are coming apart at the seams is what that means. And plus, you have the added problem of what about some of the diseases, some of the kids who haven't been immunized, and what is that going to mean? Also classroom space. And then there is the other thing that people, I think, don't think about sometimes, not all those children from Central America, especially those children, don't speak English in a lot of cases. So now you're also looking at translators and what a mess that's become, because personally, I think this wasn't thought about. Like, oh, okay, well, yeah, now we have to do this. But it was never thought out. Huey, thanks for coming back on the show. What do you think? Do you think that this was a thought out plan or what?
No, it was, as usual, a knee-jerk reaction. Unfortunately, the Obama administration doesn't usually think about steps to implementation when they're putting out their edicts. I mean, Obamacare is probably our best example of that. We didn't even think about how to launch a website, which you and I can get a website going. The one thing about it, and you make a very, very good point, you know, regardless of if you think conservatives are, you know, are if you believe conservative ideology like I do, or if you think conservatives are racist, the one thing that we always talk about is, okay, fine, what's feasible? What's feasible with the resources that we have? And the one, and this is a very important concept, because liberalism teaches us that, you know, you can have everything because the government is going to provide everything, but the government doesn't produce everything. This is a great example, because now you have these children who, because of humanitarian purposes, we're going to require them to, we're going to require school districts to take them on. But yet we haven't given any resources that are needed in order to help those children. And we're not being heartless. This is just reality. You need resources to take care of these kids. And these kids are going to require more resources because of the problem of language, which you just talked about, which is a huge barrier and a huge cost to school districts. And it's also a question of health as well, because you can't bring these children in. You don't know what diseases they have. We already know that the Obama administration has not done a great job of managing the diseases that are coming across the border through migrant children. This is just reality. It's not racism. It's just reality.
Yeah, and that's why I hate that term. I mean, this is reality, like you said, of trying to absorb kids into a school district where, listen, it would happen to anyone if there was an influx in any kind of direction, but then who's paying for it? Who's paying for translators? And I've told the story, Hugh. I was on a plane somewhere. I was going to Miami, I think, and I sat next to the two nicest people, and somehow we struck up this conversation about schools. It turned out they were from Kansas City, and they both had to deal with it. The husband was a principal and then a superintendent, and the wife was a teacher, and they said it's awful, and then they feel terrible for the kids, and they're trying to help them, but then they have the problems of the translators. And then they also said they had the problems with the immunizations as they're pounding the other kids. Look, your child has to have this, this, and this. Then they have these other kids who they have no records for, and you had parents up in arms, and they said it was terrible to try to sort it out, and everybody felt badly all the way around, but including the kids themselves, many of them who felt lost. And I think that's the other part of this that gets lost in the conversation. What about these kids? They're shoved into this situation, and they're lost. They're like lost kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost a no-win situation. But again, it's a knee-jerk reaction. We, you know, our politics have diminished the bumper sticker. So right now we're not thinking holistically about how to solve problems. So the first thing, the last thing you want to do in this politically correct society is to have these kids deported back home to the, you know, back to the situations they came from. So you have to do something with them. But if you're sitting in an ivory tower in Washington, D.C., we talk about this over and over and over again about how Washington, D.C. has more and more power, yet is even more isolated from the rest of the country in terms of understanding the implications of the policies that they push. You know, you don't understand what local school districts have to go through in order to take care of these children. It's just another example of how Washington continues to be isolated from the rest of the country, away from Main Street, yet continues to push policies that Main Street has to bear the brunt of.
Yeah. I mean, what can people do that are suffering as this? I always say there's power to the people, and I guess, you know, look, we have midterm elections coming up, and then we'll have a presidential election, and I think there is power with the vote, especially locally, especially for midterm elections. And I think that people who are feeling it, Huey, I think they need to make a call. They need to complain, don't you?
I think so. I think, and this is very important. One thing that I think we sometimes miss message, so to speak, we don't necessarily show the benefit of what we're trying to say, of the human side of what we're trying to say. We get lost, and people think we're racist or heartless or cold. And so what we have to do is be able to humanize the other side of our argument and show that every time, for all the migrant children that are coming in, there are less resources for the children that are here locally. So that are already in those local school districts. So what's the message that we want to show in terms of the harms that are going to be put onto those children that are already that have already been there, whose parents have worked very hard to get them into the school district that they're in, whose parents are working very hard to make sure that they have the education that they expect for their children? What about the human side of that?
Yeah, exactly. What happens to the other side of that, especially with everything that happens nowadays with some of these school districts? And I mentioned
Absolutely.
It's these class sizes. They're overloaded. They're exploding. You have kids that are, you know, where they have those makeshift trailers because they're trying to raise funds to add on to the school, and there's no room. That's the other part of it. What happens when you have absolutely no room? What are you going to do? Take all the kids to the cafeteria? And a teacher told me that they might have to actually have a makeshift classroom in a cafeteria.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the funny thing about it. You know, looking at the teachers unions, we're known as, our side is known as anti-teacher. We're not asking teachers to take on, you know, a 20%, 30% increase in their class sizes and no additional resources. Teachers are already having to buy school materials, class materials for their children. So now you're going to ask them to do even more because you haven't done anything to increase the resources that teachers have. You just done something because it's politically correct. It's knee-jerk, and it's something that plays very well in the evening news. You didn't think about the implications, which is, you know, again, liberalism. All you have to do is tax billionaires. You can have everything you want. And we see again and again the flaws of that thinking when it's time to put these policies in action and they don't work.
Yeah. When you saw this happen and you started to see it unfold, that's exactly what I thought. Did you know automatically, oh, here we go again, and they're not even thinking about how long? Because it takes like 500 days for even a deportation hearing. Did you know that? That's crazy.
I didn't realize it took that long. I knew it took a long time, but
yeah,
not that long. But the one thing about it, this is the first thing I thought about when I saw the report that the Obama administration had announced this edict that said all, you know, school districts are going to take on these migrant children. The first thing I thought about was the website. Like, you've got this grandiose idea. You're sitting in a figurative ivory tower in the White House away from Main Street. And you don't understand how things work in the real world. So when it's time to do something like actually bring these children in into a school that has a fixed number of classes and a fixed number of teachers, or when you try to launch a website, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work the way you intended.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, really, and we don't even know really the numbers. We don't know how many, and that's the other problem of this. We don't have a handle on that, so you can't call in Atlanta, you can't call in Dallas, you can't call in San Antonio. And they can't tell them, hey, okay, so in 2 weeks from now, I know you're starting, sorry to do this, geez, there's just no way to know. It's all about showing up, and I've heard that sometimes what happens is they're surprised at how many people come in, and then you've got kids that are, and parents that are wrapped around the block waiting to get into the school, so it's really a nightmare.
And you know, that just brings up a point. That's why I love conservatism, because no private business would ever announce a policy without at least doing the research and making it public and understanding what the implications are. How can you possibly announce an edict saying you know these children will be taken into your local school district, yet nobody has done a study of how many migrant children have already been processed and brought into the country? We don't know. So how is it that you even know that it's a feasible policy to push?
Yeah, you have no idea. I mean, that's the rub. There we go, for sure.
Yep.
Huey, as always, great to have you on the show. Sorry it was wasn't under better circumstances, but good to have you on, Huey Newsom, Project 21 and such. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now's the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Tonight, we have a few fun signature things we like to do, and one of them is to invite Nathan Reeder into the party, into the middle of the center of the radio theater. Hello, Nathan.
Ooh, the center.
Yeah, you're on a round stage right now.
Circles. I like circles.
I like circles, too. Okay, so Nathan is with us because we're going to do a little feature called Fruits and Nuts, Shred It or Bingo.
Bingo!
Bingo! All right, so how about this one? This comes from Muhlenberg Township, Pennsylvania, where Elijah Edwards apparently likes Swiss cheese, really likes it. Police believe he may be a serial Swiss cheese thief, responsible for a number of thefts from local markets. He was busted when he visited the local Giant food store. He stuffed four logs of cheese into his pants. A security guard stopped him, Nathan, when he noticed that he was kind of waddling when he walked. When he was asked if he had Swiss cheese in his pants, he came up with the classic bozo response, "What cheese?" An unfortunate officer was called to search his pants, and he was arrested. Fruits and nuts, shredded or bingo.
Fruits and nuts and cheese go just like perfectly together.
Crazy, isn't it? You know what? If you're going to rip off cheese, I don't know. There had to be a better way to do that. I guess he thought, you know, hey, I'm just putting it down my pants and nobody's going to know. And, you know, so be it. That's what happens here, I suppose. I don't know. It's just very strange, I think. All right, so let's go to another one. How about this? I picked this one out especially for you because I thought you would appreciate it. A dash cam video posted on YouTube on Wednesday shows an incredible feat of survival, you might say. And what happens is, and I watched this a couple of different times, Nathan, what happens is the there's a speeding motorcyclist who clips the back of a car, then lands on the roof. The video begins on a four-way highway with the video recording, you know, the car in the passing lane. Another car a few car lengths ahead in the slower lane signals to switch to the passing lane. Seconds later, the speeding motorcycle weaves from the right-hand side, clips the back of the signaling car. The motorbike hits the rear bumper with a whole bunch of force, flips the rider forward, but the rider miraculously lands on his feet on the roof of the speeding car. He just hit unharmed. The car stops. The biker gets off. Fruits and nuts, shredded or bingo.
Okay, so first of all, let me do this because we are on the radio. How did you... We don't even have a camera. How did you really get through listening to that description? I mean, that was like... That was like, oh, yeah, you know Bobby and Susie and Susie's step-grandma with the half-children here.
Well, the upshot is he was speeding, slapped into the car, boom, smacked under the hood, landed feet up, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like a stunt almost, and it wasn't a stunt.
Yep.
It wasn't a prepared thing. It really happened.
I'm going to go with a bingo-esque shred it.
All right, bingo-esque shred it. I like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's lucky because he could have been just shattered.
Oh,
that's
man.
It. Motorcycles are so dangerous. Have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
Yes, I haven't driven one. Well, actually, yes, I have, but that was only in a parking lot. And my goodness, I am small enough that any of those big old expedition bikes, it's mm-hmm. just laughable to see me on them. And it's not surprising that once I got to about, 1 mile an hour, that I could barely hold the thing up when I was about to stop. So that was sad. I felt bad for that bicycle.
Yeah, stupidly, I had a boyfriend who had one of those. He had a Kawasaki, I think, and I just I remember just going out to in Albuquerque, going out to a lake with him, and we didn't have any helmets on, you know. And who knows what could have happened to us? We were fine, but I think that was enough. I started to see that people were getting killed in these accidents, even when they had helmets. I was like, yeah, that's kind of enough for me. I think they're pretty.
Was that a crotch rocket? What do you
call
it?
Yes, crotch. It was
when
a crotch.
You lay forward.
Yeah, it's a crotch rocket.
I don't like that.
It was awful.
Stand up. I want to feel that wind around
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. All right, here's an equally interesting story for all of you listening. How would you like to be in the middle of this? A 200-year-old stoneware bottle was found on a shipwreck off the coast of Poland. And check this out. So 200 years old, bottles found. It contains alcohol that is still drinkable. The bottle had one time been used to store soda water from a company in Germany, but it was recycled and instead had a liquid that was 14% alcohol and then a little bit thinned with water. Wow.
Gross.
gross. So you have to think, this bottle goes all the way back to 1806, and then they found another in 1830. That's crazy.
Where is this supposed to be from?
It was found, a team of researchers found it in Poland. So they have, there was a shipwreck off of Poland, they found it, and they analyzed the liquor, and they say it is drinkable, and that's the bottle dates back to that.
Hmm. There's a lot of things that are drinkable. I think I'm going with another shred it. It's pretty cool, but man, imagine all the other weird, interesting things that are locked away for us to say, wow, that looks really cool, and then maybe you touch it and it just turns to something dusty again.
Yeah, I think the whole shipwreck thing is really cool, but I don't know if I want to, after I watch Shark Week, I don't know if I'd want to wreck dive, because a lot of times sharks are attracted to that, and they go in and out of those wrecks, and I'm not much for diving with sharks.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Okay, this one is sort of an up-and-smoke deal. Christy Park on Thursday, last Thursday in Toronto, did an interesting thing. A group calling itself Marijuana Information Bureau had a treasure hunt for a free pot, and dozens of people showed up for the search. Four black bags were hidden, and anyone over 19 was invited to come out for the treasure hunt. There was one snag. You had to have a medical marijuana license to claim your prize.
This was in Washington, you said? Washington, D.C.?
No, Toronto.
Oh, in Toronto. Hmm. Oh, the Canucks. Yeah, I'm... Yeah, bingo. That's how it works, guys. That's how it works.
That's how it works, right.
Legal, fun, party planning. That's how it works. Yeah. Bring your IDs, and it will be okay.
All right, there you go. I like that answer. Okay, here's one for you. I'm sure being in Minnesota at the Mothership, you absolutely enjoy, love, can't wait until the winter season, and you get ice and snow and all that cool stuff, right?
I am so good friends with all the people I tell that I can't wait for that to happen.
All right, so how about this? If you were in Winnipeg, also over the border to our north, they have a big problem, actually. You know what they have? They have a giant, right now, 60-foot snow pile that won't melt. And you know what they do? Every winter, the Winnipeg street maintenance team goes out, collects, and builds up snow from parking lots across the city, but usually the mountains are depleted in time for the following winter season. But this year there's a chance it's not happening. People in Winnipeg have noticed the mountains that still have, you know, they still have snow on them, so it's not melting. What's that going to be like? I mean, so, you know, even though it's sort of summer, they're not getting any snow melt. I think that's kind of wild.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with fruits and nuts on that. I mean, that's got to be a combination of temperature and then just chemical makeup of what
the
snow is.
What's in the snow? That's what I think, too. That's what I think the same thing. I like snow, but snow year-round I wouldn't like, and I wouldn't like to be staring at it, you know, in the summer. I like my seasons, or at least some semblance of them.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to love this one. There is a new human Barbie on the block. Lolita Ritchie, 16, from Kiev, is following in the footsteps of the controversial Valeria Lukyanova, the so-called human Barbie, who has said she wants to live off air and be in light alone. So she is trying to achieve that image. She's had plastic surgery, and she's dresses exactly like a Barbie, and I'm not kidding you, this is radio, but folks, this girl looks exactly, it's eerie, she looks exactly like a Barbie. She doesn't look like a person. She's 16.
What'd you say about the whole eating part?
Plastic surgery and I didn't say anything about eating, but she eats very little food.
Okay.
And she's got thousands of followers on social media.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised about that. We'll follow anything.
That's right. You human Barbie, you. We'll follow you. Oh. What do you think? Shred it?
No, not shred it. Fruits and nuts.
Fruits and nuts. What a way to end this. Ugh. Nathan, thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze Dry Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Freeze Dry Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you'd like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
I wouldn't say it necessarily adds fire. I mean, it's disappointing. Obviously, I didn't want this to be the outcome, but at the same time, I didn't necessarily feel like I was ready, and I felt like there were steps that I needed to take and I need to take to move forward and get better.
It's been my mentality this whole offseason training camp, you know, to come out here and act like a starter and be the starter, and so now that it's official, we can just move on and get ready for St. Louis.
All right, that's the quarterback deal. Johnny Manziel, the voice you first heard, and Brian Hoyer, the second voice from the Cleveland Browns. We're getting ready for football. The season starts September 7th for them. The opener is at Pittsburgh. And here we are at the final swing of America tonight for this hour anyway. So Manziel is a superstar. They paid a lot of money for Manziel. He was drafted by Cleveland. He was their first pick in this past draft. Mike Pettine, the coach, said after Wednesday's practice there aren't plans to develop a package of plays for Manziel, who, of course, was a Heisman winner, star at Texas A&M, but has been slow because he's been slow to adjust to playing under center and learning a new playbook. And he just named Brian Hoyer as the starting quarterback for the opener. It is assumed that Manziel, who's a rookie, will eventually take that job, and maybe by midway point of the season, who knows, unless Hoyer somehow lights it up, you know, we'll see. Because Manziel is putting seats, is selling seats in Cleveland, and his jersey is number one, the number one seller online. The NFL reported that. Part of it, I think, is because of the Texas A&M fan base, but also the people in Cleveland as well. But after the Bird move to the Washington Redskins bench in the loss the other day, maybe that shows a lack of maturity. I think it does. And so they'll just give him some time, and I think he's there by the end of the – I think for sure he's there by the end of the season anyway, but maybe midway in the season. Who knows? Unless Hoyer completely shocks everyone and, like I said, lights it up. Okay, moving to – something pretty interesting, this ice bucket challenge, which some of you might have been paying attention to. It's hard to ignore it because if you watch even 5 seconds of the television news, you'll see it, or read the paper, or, you know, certainly if you're online, you see it. And it's, I think it's a pretty cool thing, the ice bucket challenge. ALS is such a rough, I won't even do it justice, disease. I had an acquaintance whose mother had it for 11 years, and she came back to help take care of her mother, and it was awful to watch what happened to her. And I have another friend whose husband, out of the blue, got it, and same thing. They even went into Washington and talked to politicians about funding and everything else, but he lasted a few years, and then he eventually died from ALS, too. So now with this ice bucket challenge, Tim Shaw, who's a former Titans linebacker, revealed that he had ALS. He took the ice bucket challenge and didn't say anything, and then he decided, I'm going to go public that I have ALS, because it's been raising a lot of awareness and a lot of money. It's become a phenomenon to help fight the disease and find a cure. So the fact that this linebacker and special teams captain decided, you know, I've been living with this since April, I'm going to tell people about it. And he said it was difficult for Tim Shaw. It was difficult for him to go public, but that it was clear that it was time to do that, that he had waited for months and needed to process it and figure out what the message was going to be. So following training camp practice on Wednesday, every Titans players and the coaching staff accepted the ice bucket challenge, and they dumped ice water over their heads as Shaw watched them, and then, you know, they high-fived and everything else. And he said he felt overwhelming support. I mean, this is a guy who's just 30 years old, 7 years in the NFL. He played for the Titans from 2010 to 2012. He says it was unbelievable. And he said he knew he had somehow he had to do something. And for I think most of you know, it's called ALS is a progressive neurodegenerative disease. It affects nerve cells in the brain, the spinal cord. There isn't any cure. It's so debilitating that it leads to paralysis and death, usually. And its nickname is Lou Gehrig's disease. So check this out. The ALS Association website says it has gotten $31.5 million in donations as of Wednesday as a result of the challenge. That compares to, you ready for this? So $31.5 million in donations. That compares to $1.9 million raised during the same period last year. And the donations are coming in from the existing donors and from almost 700,000 new donors. So bravo. I think that's incredible. It shows you how being clever and people just chipping in a little bit of money. Look at the difference in that. That's amazing. And for Shaw, who's just 30, as I said he started to feel symptoms and, of the disease late in 2012 and 2013. He was released by the Titans during training camp last year when they made their final cut. So it didn't really have anything to do with that. It said, he would get these things in his muscles. You could see his legs twitching, his muscles twitching, and he felt the weakness in his muscles, and then he lost some athletic ability that was always there. Just, he said that was some of the early signs, and he went and got tested, and, you know, he never, he just never thought that that's what it was with the ailments and whatever, and then he found out that that's exactly what it is, and he says he doesn't blame playing football and the physical deal of football as a reason for getting the ALS. You know, he talked about loving football and playing it since he was 12, but he did say he thinks that football at all levels needs to improve its approach when it comes to prevention and diagnosis for any kinds of injuries. But wow, that's just amazing, the amount of money that has been raised from the ice bucket thing. Wow, absolutely incredible. Bravo to all the people who have done that and all the people who have donated. Just, you know, we always say that it's just a little bit. Somebody doesn't have to put in a whole bunch of money. It's just a little bit here and a little bit there, and what a difference that can make. And since we're on sports notes here of some sort, worth, I think, mentioning is Monet Davis, who is on the cover of Sports Illustrated, plays for the Philadelphia team in the Little League World Series. Her team, it was just slaughtered by Nevada. I watched a little bit of it, and it was, they just overpowered this Philadelphia team. 8-1. 8-1 was the final score. So Vegas will compete in the U.S. title game, and Philadelphia goes into an elimination game on Thursday night against Chicago. We'll see if they win that or not. But, Monet Davis has kind of become a little bit of the darling of the sports world with her success and how poised she is and all the attention and answering questions and giving her teammates credit and everything else. So she allowed 3 runs, 6 hits, and struck out 6 in 2 1/3 innings before leaving after 55 pitches. So that makes her eligible to pitch again in the game on Saturday. And 34,000 people went to go and cram into the ballpark to watch those teams play, and there were even people outside on the hill, and this kid is unfazed. I mean, she's just playing baseball and I think not concerned about all the attention that she's getting. She's trying to win for that Philadelphia team. That's the impression I get anyway. Any thoughts on the show, you can always send them to me, americatonight.net. Thanks for listening.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.